Yesterday, Hiroji was talking on Sadda, faith and confidence. By developing knowledge, one will come to acceptance that it is correct. And by practicing, when the answer, when one gets the answer from both theory and practice, one can come to acceptance, confirmation, and decision. It is not just blind faith. And Buddha did not praise the blind faith. By reflecting what is probable, one comes to acceptance with one's knowledge. And by practicing according to the correct method, one comes to acceptance, confirmation, and decision. In practicing Satipatthana meditation, Sadda, faith and confidence, plays the important role. In order to dispel avijja, ignorance, not knowing, knowing wrongly, in order to dispel avijja, Sadda, faith and confidence is very important. At the stage of Uddiyapaya Jnana, insight into fast arising and passing away, Sadda, faith and confidence become amazingly strengthened. In the beginning, in order to awaken Sadda, one has to listen to the Dhamma talk. And in order to cultivate Sadda, faith and confidence, one has to listen to the Dhamma. Dhamma talk here does not mean the ordinary talks, but one should listen to the talks about Satipatthana. One should listen to the instruction, how one should practice Satipatthana meditation so that one will gain benefit in the practice. In order to encourage people to practice, in order to gain osaha janana, in order to gain encouragement to practice diligently, the seven kinds of benefits of Satipatthana practice are mentioned. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can purify one's mind. One can be free from ordinary form of defilements as well as extreme form of defilements, lobha, dosa, moha. Because people's mind are not purified, they have soka, sorrow, they have lamentation, and they come across physical suffering and mental suffering. Because people have kilesa, defilements, they encounter suffering. So it is very important to purify the mind. Buddha also practiced in order to purify the mind, to gain enlightenment. And all the Buddhas practice Satipatthana meditation in order to purify the mind. So each and every Buddha practiced Satipatthana meditation and they had eradicated all the defilements to the point of no return. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, Buddha attained Arahata Magga. Buddha became an Arahat, totally free from the defilements. Among these defilements that were removed, there is moha, delusion. Delusion, moha, not knowing, knowing wrongly, is totally uprooted. And Buddha knew everything that should be known in smallest details. And also, Buddha attained Sabbanyuta Jnana, omniscient knowledge. So among these defilements that have been removed, that were removed, moha, delusion, is one of them. If moha does not arise, the other defilements that accompany moha will not arise. And Sabbanyuta Jnana, omniscient knowledge, follow, and Buddha attain enlightenment. So all these Buddhas practiced Satipatthana meditation, and Buddha was free from Soka, sorrow, Parideva, lamentation, and Buddha was free from mental suffering. Buddha had physical suffering, but Buddha did not have mental suffering that is connected with the physical suffering. Because Buddha was totally free from anger, aversion, Buddha did not have Domanasa. Buddha had eradicated all the defilements to the point of no return. Buddha attained all four stages of Maggajnana, path knowledge, all four stages of Phalajnana, fruition knowledge, and Buddha realized cessation, Nibbana. And Buddha showed the seven benefits of Satipatthana practice. So Satipatthana practice is not something that is insignificant. It is very beneficial. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can gain seven benefits. So one should have faith and confidence that one can gain these seven benefits by practicing Satipatthana meditation. Having faith and confidence that Satipatthana practice can bring these benefits, one's saddha, faith and confidence, will be awakened. By awakening saddha, faith and confidence, one will have the strong will to gain these benefits of Satipatthana practice. Having strong will to gain benefits of Satipatthana practice, one will be able to give up things that are insignificant, and one will build up courage, one will build up effort, courageous effort. Having courageous effort, one practices diligently without regard to one's body and life. In order to note every arising object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, without missing, without failing, every single second, one needs to assert ardent effort in the practice. Asserting effort in the practice, sati, mindfulness, develops. Whatever the object arises, sati, mindfulness, sticks onto the object. There will be sustained mindfulness. When there is sustained mindfulness, Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, follows. When there is Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, the mind will be free from the agitation of defilements. The mind will be calm and collected. Noting the object with aim and effort, applying aiming directing, which is jhanic factor, one cultivates sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, having the support of the jhanic factors. And one develops knowledge into nama rupa, mind and matter, and one develops knowledge stage by stage. If one is not mindful, one will not develop knowledge. By developing knowledge, ignorance, not knowing, knowing wrongly, will be removed. Removal of ignorance originates from faith and confidence. So, in order to practice, one should ask oneself, does he, she really believe in the Buddha? If the person is reluctant to have faith and confidence in the Buddha personally, the person should at least have faith and confidence in the Dhamma. And also one should ask the question whether the person has faith and confidence that Satipatthana practice can bring seven benefits. And also one should ask whether the person has the strong will to gain these benefits, whether the person is willing to give up, whether the person can practice diligently with courageous effort without regard to one's body and life, and whether one can note these objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen without missing, without failing, with diligent effort. Only if all these factors are met, one can develop sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration. If these factors are not met, if the person does not have these factors, however, the person may be practicing throughout one's life, but his or her practice will not progress. Buddha himself practiced Satipatthana meditation, and Buddha was totally purified, perfectly purified, that no rudeness are left. And Buddha eradicated even the latent dormant defilements. If lobha arises, there will be rudeness. If there is dosa, there will be rudeness. When the person is overwhelmed by these defilements, lobha, dosa, the person will commit misconduct. Buddha had totally eradicated all these rudenesses, and Buddha was totally tamed. And Buddha had forbearance, even if others do harassment. The teaching of the Buddha, by hearing the teaching of the Buddha, one will be free from the heat of the defilements just by listening to the Dhamma. If the person listens to the Dhamma attentively with faith and confidence, At the moment, the person is listening to the Dhamma with faith and confidence attentively. The person does not have raga, dosa, moha, lust, anger, delusion at the moment of listening. It is adi kalyana, meaning the Dhamma has the virtue that it is good in the beginning. Adi kalyana. And also, by practicing according to the Dhamma, one gains happiness. It is the virtue that Dhamma is good in the middle. By practicing according to the Dhamma, the person's mind becomes serene continuously for 1 minute, 2 minutes, and so on, the mind being free from defilements, the mind being pure and brings happiness. There will be samatha sukha, there will be happiness of concentration when the mind is calm, collected, being free from the defilements. When the person develops cause and effect, when the person develops knowledge into cause and effect, and when the person develops knowledge into arising and passing away, one gains vipassana sukha, one gains the happiness of insight. Piti, joy, arises, and one experience, good experience, brinji feeling. Having pasati, tranquility, one experiences good experiences, cooling, oozing experience. Having pasati, tranquility. And when there is balava vipassana, when insight become strong, one experiences calm, good feeling. Even though the person comes across desirable objects, lobha, greed does not arise. Even though one comes across undesirable objects, anger, hatred, aversion does not arise. At that stage, there is no likes or dislikes, and the person experiences good, calm experience, and there will be dadanga sandhi. There will be momentary peace. There will be dadanga sandhi sukha. There will be happiness of momentary peace. When one realizes nibbana, it will be achanda sandhi, the ultimate peace, where one realizes the cessation of all nama rupa phenomena. So during the practice, by practicing diligently, one can gain good experiences such as springy good feeling, oozing cooling good experience, calm good experience. And later on, when the knowledge becomes mature, one finally attains the cessation good experience. So the Dhamma is taught that practicing according to the Dhamma, the practice and the benefit are in accordance. Buddha had various kinds of virtues. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, based on one's experience, one can reflect the virtue of the Buddha as much one can understand through one's practice. And one will build up sadha, faith and confidence. One will have strong will in the practice, and one will be able to practice so that the person's viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom will be strengthened. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can have good experiences in the practice, such as springy good experience, cooling oozing good experience, and calm good experience. Even if one has not reached the stage of realizing the cessation, good experience, one can at least reach to the calm, good experience. At that stage, upekkha, equanimity, in other words, udasina, the equanimity where one has the mind, balanced mind, in an equilibrium state. At that stage, whatever the person comes across as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, even though they might be desirable, but there will not be greed. At that stage, there is strong mindfulness. The mind is totally in balance. Even if they are desirable things, there will not be lobha. Even if one comes across undesirable things, there will not be anger, hatred, or aversion. The person is said to be sato sambajano. The person is endowed with mindfulness and clear comprehension, discerning distinctly, and one has upekkha equanimity, and in other words, it is also called udasina.
Equilibrium.
At that stage, the equanimity, the state of equilibrium, the udasina.
Achala.
Is very strong. When the person gets to the higher vipassana knowledge, the person develops spiritual resistance, spiritual stamina that one can develop. Spiritual stamina that the lobha dosa does not arise. And there is udasina, equilibrium state, having equanimity where the mind is in balanced state. At that stage, the social problems such as marriage problem, tensions, stress, depression will be solved. In order to reach that stage, there should be patipakkha vidhamana. There should be removal of the hindrances. Dan satri dhammeja pasada yatta, meaning that in order to listen to the instructions, one should have faith and confidence in the Buddha who led the way. One should have faith and confidence in the Dhamma. The listening to the Dhamma is connected with faith and confidence. Having faith and confidence, one believes in the Dhamma. Having faith and confidence, one listens to the Dhamma attentively. And by listening to the Dhamma attentively, one will be able to practice systematically. And by practicing systematically, that will be Patipakkha Vidhamana. One will be destroying the hindrances. The Dhamma that is profound will become obvious. So one should have faith and confidence in the Buddha. One should have faith and confidence in the Dhamma. By having faith and confidence in the Buddha and the Dhamma, one will listen attentively to the instructions and guidance. One will have faith and confidence in the Satipatthana practice. So the systematic practice is connected with Saddhamma Savana Dina. The systematic practice is connected with listening to the guidance and instruction. If the person does not listen attentively to the guidance and instruction, the person will not be able to practice systematically. And thus, the defilements, the hindrances that have been following throughout the round of assistances will not be removed. Patipakkha Vidhamana Panna Sama Patipatti Patipatta, meaning that the removal of the hindrances are connected with the systematic practice. So one should practice accurately, precisely, according to the guidance and instruction. When doing walking meditation, every time the person lifts, moves, and places the foot, one should be mindful. In the lifting, one should be mindful from the very moment the person lifts the foot until lifting finishes. And in order to note it, one should note with diligent effort so that the mind will stick onto the object. One should aim the noting mind onto the object, putting effort so that the noting mind falls on the object. And the same goes with moving and placing of the foot. As soon as the object arises, the noting mind should rush into the object. In order to do so, one should note with aim and effort. And Saraji has been looking at the yogis, and Saraji sees that some of the yogis are practicing flippantly in an easygoing manner, not paying attention to their practice. And such kind of people will not be able to report. The way they report will be in a confused way. Saraji says that just like in eating, one has to chew properly, pay attention, so that one comes to know the flavor of the food. In the same way, by noting the object with sustained mindfulness, one will know the nature of the object, and one should be able to report. When the person lifts the foot, when noting lifting, is it the form or shape of the foot, or is it the manner of lifting, or is it the nature that the person comes to know by noting lifting? Just as one has to chew properly, pay attention to know the flavor, in the same way, when noting the object, one should note the object with aim and effort so that one comes to know the true nature. But if the person is thinking, imagining, not noting properly, then he, she will not be making progress. there should be sammāpaṭipatti. One should note systematically. One should follow the guidance and instruction accurately, precisely. One should know the object with aim and effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness. There should be strong will in order to gain the benefits of satipatthana practice. If the effort is lack, then the person will not make progress. Not asserting effort in the practice, the defilements will be giving trouble. One will not be removing these defilements and hindrances. So in order to remove these hindrances, one should practice systematically according to the guidance and instruction. So that also means that if the person does not practice according to the guidance and instruction accurately, the person will not be removing the hindrances. Not removing the hindrances, the Dhamma will not unfold. When noting lifting of the foot, one can come to know the nature such as lightness or being pushed from below. When moving, there can be pushing, or one can experience like being pulled from the front. And when placing, heaviness. When stepping, heaviness sinking down. When standing, stiffness, tension. When turning as if like being pulled or pushed. In this way, one can come to know the true nature. And by removing the hindrances, the Dhamma will unfold. When sitting down, one should be mindful of the whole body sitting down. One should sit slowly, inch by inch, noting, being mindful of the whole body sitting down. When the noting mind is concurrent with the object, one will come to know the true nature. So noting sitting with aim and effort, one comes to know heaviness, stiffness, tension. So one should note attentively on all these activities. One should not be thinking, imagining. If the person does not practice diligently, if the person does not pay attention to his or her practice, then the person will not be able to report clearly in the interview. Saraji says that the retreat has been going on for more than 10 days already. It is time that the yogis can report accurately these natures that the person experiences. If the yogi is not able to report properly, it means that that yogi's effort is lack. It means that the yogi is not asserting effort in the practice, and it shows that the yogi is not having sustained mindfulness, and the way he she reports will be in a confused way. It will not be proper. So it is very important to practice precisely, accurately, according to the guidance given. By practicing precisely, accurately, according to the guidance given, one will be removing the nivarana hindrances, and thus one will discern the Dhamma that is profound. So in order to guide the yogis to report in the interview, the teachers will ask whether the yogi can note closely, follow closely with aim and effort on the object rising. So it shows the work of the yogi if the yogi follows the rising closely. And also, Yogi will be asked if the rising of the abdomen is noted with sustained mindfulness, firmly, efficiently. If the yogi is able to note efficiently with sustained mindfulness, yogi should describe what he, she knows by noting rising. By noting rising, is it the form or shape of the abdomen? Or is it the manner of rising? Or is it the stiffness, tension, or movement, or what nature that the yogi experienced when noting rising? If the yogi cannot describe, it means that the yogi is not meticulous or thorough in the noting. If the yogi is able to report precisely, then the meditation teacher likes the yogi very much, that this yogi is very diligent in the practice. Just as in eating, chewing properly, paying attention, one comes to know the flavors such as sweetness, sour, or spicy. In the same way, when noting rising and falling of the abdomen, one should be able to describe what he, she comes to know by noting rising, falling. If the yogi is not able to note rising, falling, then the mind is either not on the object, rising, falling. It may happen that the mind wander elsewhere, and yogi should describe whether he, she can note the wandering mind as wandering, wandering, thinking, thinking. If the yogi is able to note thinking, thinking, what happened to the thinking when noting thinking? Did the thinking continue? Did the thinking stop? Did the thinking disappear? So in this way, yogi should describe what happened when he, she noted as thinking. Or when the yogi is not able to note rising, falling, what happened? Is it the itchiness that arose? When itchiness arose, whether the yogi can note it as itchy? When noting itchy, what happened to the itchiness? Did the itchiness increase? Did the itchiness decrease? Did the itchiness move? Did the itchiness disappear? Did the itchiness fade away? Or when the itchiness is noted, did it disappear immediately, all at once? Did the itchiness disappear one after another? So in this way, yogi should describe what happened to the object by noting it. So by practicing diligently, noting with aim and effort, and reporting accurately, such kind of yogi will make progress even within a few days. So Saraji encourages the yogi to be role model yogi, but not to be pretending yogi who pretends to be practicing, who is practicing superficially.
다음.
It will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.